The album is Whoever It Was That Brought Me Here Will Have to Take Me Home, and it's Mr. Martin Joseph who's on the phone. How are you, Martin? Is he there?
I don't hear him.
Oh, you know what, Terry?
What? Okay, I've got to
You know what? I'll do this and then I'll run because I think somebody's screwed around with the thing. Hang on a sec. 30 seconds.
30 seconds?
Okay, crumbs. Winnipeg's finest improv troupe are going to Berlin and beyond on their fifth European tour. Come out to the show, send these guys off in style as they go to Europe to show them what a prairie good time is all about. There's going to be a cavalcade of special guests, including...
DJ
Honeycutt will be spinning records all night long and even playing music along with Crumbs as they serve up the comedy for you. Thursday, March 3rd at the Gas Station Theater.
That's technology for you, Terry. Let's try this again. Martin, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff.
There we go. Sorry about that.
No problem.
A little switcheroo. So, Martin, you do shows like there's 5 shows a day or something. Where are you today?
I've just sound checked in Calgary at the university, and we played Banff last night, and somewhere else the night before that. I don't know. I love playing live, obviously, but you do get a little bit disorientated at times, and last year I actually did 249 concerts, so I'm just still running with that, really, and I don't know where I am from one night to the other. So I just have people who wake me up and point me in the right direction.
I was just going to say, last year you played Everywhere Under the Sun twice,
yeah, I know.
And then you sent an email at the end of the year saying that was the most hectic year of my life, I never want to do it again.
That's right.
And now you're back on pace again.
Actually, the year will end for me at the end of March because this stuff was already in that I'm doing now, which was US dates and Canadian dates, and then I get back to the UK and I have about a day off and I hit the road again over there. But come the end of March, I'm taking April and May off completely.
Good for you.
I have to be honest, but it has been this schedule over the last 14-15 months is something that I would not do again. I don't know, there was so much leading up with say and do, and I just felt I had to be out there doing my bit, and I was. But I'm pretty tired now. But I've got enough energy to complete the task.
So we here. I'm here with Terry Wilson, by the way, who you might know.
Oh, Terry! Hey.
Hi, Martin. How are you?
I'm good, my good friend. How are you doing?
I'm excited to see you.
I can't wait. Looking forward to it too.
So anyways, we certainly think you're a big star, and whenever you come to Winnipeg, people come out and are big and are appreciative of you. You've been playing for so many years and have played literally probably around the world. What do you need to play this many dates, or is it just like...
I don't know. It's been nice you guys to have a star. I'm actually not, because I probably wouldn't have to play these many dates if I was a star as such. You know, maybe some of it's to do with the fragile ego of being an artist. You know, you just think, if I don't go back soon, they'll have forgotten about me. I don't know. I hope it's not that reason. Since I started coming to Canada in about 1999, 2000, I've really worked hard at it because I love the country so much and I want to sort of build an audience that means that I can keep coming back. And I think I'm about the stage now where I can perhaps, not relax, but just, know that if I come back, that folks are going to show up. So, I don't think now, sadly, really, after I finish this run of shows now in the next week or so, I probably won't be back in Canada for another year. Well, I'm playing the Ottawa Folk Festival at the end of August, but that's about it, I think. I won't be back probably for another year because I have to do some American festivals this year. So I've been here. I looked at my passport here. I've been to Canada, I think it's 19 times since the year 2000. So
that's crazy.
So I've given it a good shot, and I'd like to feel like I have a lot of friends here now, which is wonderful. And it means that hopefully in the coming years I can return and play to that audience. So really I'm coming to the end of a what was an intensive push to try and establish myself as best I can at the level that I'm at anyway in your wonderful country.
Right. Now, we've had the pleasure of meeting your family last summer, and I know that you're a very devoted family man. Your family means a lot to you, but it must really kind of be torn between something you love so much, playing music live takes you away from them so often, and trying to balance that with being a good husband and a good father. That's got to be tough, though.
It is tough, and without a doubt, mistakes are made, and that's one of the reasons really why I'm taking April and May off, is because I have to address that situation. I love my job, and it's I find it hard to sort of decline invitations to come to wonderful places like Canada and play music. But you know, my kids are growing up, and it won't be long before they've left the house and all the rest of it. So I have to make sure that I'm not going to do anything that I'm going to regret. So part of that sort of little sabbatical for 2 months there is to regroup and sort of plan the next couple of years how I'm going to do it. And I think that, you know, what I've done, for instance, on this trip, I'm out of on the road for 5 weeks or so, and I think what I'll be looking at is to come away now for just 2 week blocks, so that I can, you know, 2 weeks isn't so bad. 5 weeks is pretty hard.
Yeah.
You know, before when I was just playing in the UK and Europe, I mean, you know, people are so concentrated there, you can just go another half hour and there's your next gig. So I actually, in a 25-day tour, I'll get home after 12 shows or something. So
right.
It's really not so bad. But since I started to come here, then that's when it's proved harder. And so, like I say, you know, hopefully now I can just perhaps chill a little bit and be a little bit more studious with my schedule and make sure that I'm doing the right thing, you know. Because, you know, if that falls apart, then really, you know, for me, everything that I try to stand for is going to fall apart to some extent anyhow, you know. We've all got our personal journeys, but I'm doing my best, you know.
Yeah. Now, last year we saw you at the Calgary Folk Fest. You had your family out, and I keep thinking of this. One of the most amazing moments of that folk festival was they had you doing the Sunday morning gospel workshop.
Oh yeah,
and I can sort of see why, because there's certainly, if not a religious, a spiritual element to a lot of your music, especially with this latest record. Whoever it was that brought me here will have to take me home.
Yeah,
there's a real sort of spiritual longing and a connectedness, and it's something that sort of runs through this record, and I think it's a wonderful record, and certainly I can see why maybe they put you in there.
Yeah.
But then you got up and you're such an honest guy, and you did this amazing rant about evangelists that you see on TV, and you started going off about how the God that you believe in isn't short of cash and all kinds of things
right.
And we were just spellbound. But I think that maybe some of the other performers from the States and some other people just don't get that stuff, because some of them seem genuinely offended.
Well, they were, and I had some not so nice letters about that whole thing.
Really?
Oh yeah. But I mean, that's just a continuation of other letters I've got during this last year or so. But yeah, I think there was a lady whose name I forget. She was a very sweet lady from Nashville, and I think what I actually did was have a go at Pat Robertson, saying that it didn't matter what George Bush did, whether it was right or wrong,
because
he was a man of God. And somehow, because people carried the God card, they can get away with all sorts of types of behavior, which, of course, you know, it runs such against the sort of orthodox theology. And therefore, I find that incredibly offensive. And so, therefore, I hate when people kind of hide behind that and use it as a badge to go out there and do things. And of course, you know, people actually win elections based on that sort of thing, because it doesn't matter what you do. Well, you know, he believes in God, therefore he's our man, you know.
Yeah.
And I think the artists, whilst, you know, there are plenty of artists over in the States who are wise to that stuff, a lot of people come from cultures where that's the norm. And I think the lady playing the violin, who was a very sweet lady, but I you know, I have nothing against her personally, but I think, yes, I don't think it was quite what she was expecting at the gospel session on a Sunday morning. She was looking more for Kumbaya or something, you know.
That to me just seemed so brave of you, either brave or stupid. I'm not sure, but
stupid more like, but it's not brave. It's just, you know, Jeff, it's just what I do.
If I
was to stand and do anything else, that would be the me being brave, to sort of actually play the game and just sing the sweet songs. You know, the songs I write, you can't just go up there and be nice and sweet. You have to live them. And I appreciate what you're saying, but to be honest, you know, I don't know any other way of doing it. You know?
That's exactly my point. Is that that's what I love about going to see Martin Joseph live, especially, is that there's such an honesty there, and you're putting so much of yourself on the line. I don't know how you're able to do that. I'm nowhere near capable of being that honest with people that I don't know.
Well, maybe I'm not either, you know, when I'm not up there. But I guess it's something that happens, you know. The music is somehow the connection between folk, and I feel the responsibility of that, and I'm just not really interested in grabbing a group of people together and just entertaining them for the evening. I hope that's actually, I think that's a byproduct really of what does take place. But as such, my motive, even, you know, wherever my head was always to try and to make people think or to do something with the music, you know, to, mm-hmm. to, and you know, that's the way I've chosen, I suppose. And I think perhaps, you know, I might have it might have been easier on myself if I'd chosen a different way in some senses. But you know, you have to be true to yourself.
Yeah.
Martin, Terry here. I listen to some music and it makes me kind of forget about things, but you know, I listen to some of your stuff and it makes me think and it means so much. But you know, I love that it makes me aware of certain things and instead of making me forget about certain things. That,
thanks, Tony. Yeah. Well, I guess that, again, that's what I try to do. You know, I've always been a fan of primarily North American music, because I don't think the Brits are too good at telling the story. We have, of course, the traditional folk movement, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people up in arms. But, you know, when you look at our stars, and you look at, like, I know Dave Bowie or even the Beatles to some extent. I mean, the Beatles write these great heartfelt love songs, but She Loves You, Yeah, 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 I Was Never Going to Do It for This Boy. And I always gravitated to this side of the pond, you know, start with Woody Guthrie and moving up to, you know, Dylan and Springsteen and the like and Phil Oakes and people that had this tradition of you know, saying stuff through music that was really, that came alongside folk and told them that they weren't alone. And I think that's the job of it all, really, at its best anyway. Even if it can be a sunset, it can be a painting or a poem, whatever it is, that those things articulate for us the deepest things that we feel. And I am aware that on the small scale that I work at, that actually happens, and it's incredibly rewarding. So I suppose, you know, when I get the email back or the letter back, to some extent, that's the gold disc on the wall. You know, those are the things that are important to me, that the fact that I'm doing something that has a little worth in the world and isn't just about selling records, you know.
Right. There are so many things, and I know that you're a big supporter of social causes, and you rally against injustice in the world and do a lot of charity work and stuff. And when you see things like a tsunami disaster in Asia or something that is just so terrible in the world, on the one hand, does it motivate you to keep doing what you're doing? And on the other hand, do you ever just sort of have a hard time getting up and singing folk songs when people are, you know, suffering in the world?
Well, both your presumed answers would be the truth. When I, you know, my first reaction when I see those things is just one of utter despair and just huge questions, you know.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, if you're going to approach these things from a spiritual point of view, you know, I can point to wars and I can say, well, you know, man does this, you know. Men press buttons and men make decisions to do whatever they do. But, you know, with something like that, you know, there's no buck to throw at anyone, but presumably some sort of higher being or whatever. And, you know, you have to take that on if you're going to, you know. And I hate the glib answers that so many preachers often come out with about these things. And I think it's just better to sit there and cry sometimes and not understand and what have you. But what encourages me is the human spirit that you see that comes out of those things. When you see the goodness of heart and the compassion that is shown right around the world by people doing fundraisers and sending stuff and just giving up their time and the tears shed for people they don't even know, that encourages me that the human spirit will not be thwarted by darkness, that despite what goes on our planet and in our world, we have something within us that raises us above even the most harshest of circumstances. I saw it after 9/11 at the little chapel down there where they serve soup and they gave people massages and let them sleep there, and just people dug and dug and dug. You know, no matter what evil is done to us, it seems that hopefully, you know, that the human spirit of love and compassion always rises up and will always keep on going. The problem is that, you know, when these occasions get used to further even more evil, you know,
yeah.
So we have to be careful of those things. But so, you know, like I say, that's my answer. On the one hand, I cry with everyone else and I throw my hands in despair and I just have no answers whatsoever. But on the other hand, I see the compassion and the empathy that flows from other humans. And I think, well, you know, there is hope because there just has to be more, you know.
Absolutely. I was going to on a bit of a lighter topic. You were talking about some of the North American music that inspires you. I know you have a great covers record that you did last year. Are people in Canada ever going to get their hands on this thing? I'm dying for a copy. I hope you brought me one.
Kind of a sad story for you here. I brought as many as I possibly could with me, and they're just about all sold out. I don't think I'm going to have any by the time I hit Winnipeg on Saturday night, which is very disappointing. Though we are trying to get some just sort of burnt off so that I can just sell them for a very cheap price and just let you have the actual music itself. But, I mean, I will send some over because it seems like people like it. So
it sounds like a neat project, sort of. Well, for such a great songwriter to do a covers record, sort of, I guess, why would you do it, for one? And so how do you pick what goes on there?
Well, that wasn't that hard. I've always done other people's songs if I thought there was something I could really say to them. Like the song that Joan Osborne had a hit with, though she didn't write it, One of Us. You know, I almost feel like I wrote that song now. I've played it, and I've put my twist on it and everything, you know, and I'm a huge Springsteen fan, and U2 and Leonard Cohen, and it was just a great opportunity because I've done their songs occasionally, because when people said, will you ever record them? So it was just a great opportunity to do that, and it's just a little filler album in between the next sort of, you know, when you come back with your project, you know, your next record. So people had asked for it, and so we, you know, I just recorded it at home, a little bit of overdubs, piano and stuff, and it's pretty, you know, it's pretty cool thing. I'm quite happy with it, and we may even do a volume two one day, but I need to get volume one to you first.
Yeah, I know. We've been dying to hear it, so sure. We hope that you will. But have you started looking towards your next official Martin Joseph record?
I have a couple of some new songs on the go. I'm going to play a few of them on Saturday in Winnipeg when I get there, and I'm, you know, I think there's, you know, I've got lots to say, and so I just need the space now to do that, so... going back to where we started out, April and May will be a time where I'll sit down and begin to, you know, finalize some of these ideas that are floating around in my head. So definitely looking to get another record finished by the end of this year.
Well, do you have a new project, don't you, with Tom Robinson and Steve Knightley?
Well, that was something that we've kind of finished now, Terry. We started that a few years ago. It was called Faith, Folk, and Anarchy. It was three of us, and we came together and played each other's songs, and we did that, and we did a live album with it. But Tom Robinson now is kind of a full-time broadcaster, so he came off the road, but Steve and I are doing a tour. That's the one I'm going to do when I get back in March, and we've actually done an album together called The Bridge Row Sessions, which then that'll be out in March when I get back. So it's kind of a prolific time right now. Sort of flicking out CDs like you would have breakfast, you know, it's just all the time. But so yeah, that's another thing I'm involved in. It's, Yeah, there's lots happening.
It seems like, for me anyways, a lot of your earlier records were sort of more produced and had a bit of a fuller sound, whereas the latest record, whoever it was that brought me here, you stripped it back a little bit, and it seemed a bit more honest and a bit more raw, if you can say that.
Yeah, no, I think so, and I think that happened with the last few albums that I made. When I was Sony Music, you know, they would throw the kitchen sink and the London Symphony Orchestra and everything they could find at you. Which was, you know, exciting, but I've had far better reviews now on the songs that I've made on my own in my studio, because that's what I do, really. You know, I've toured the world now for 20 years just with a guitar, and I figure that's how my record should sound, really. So I'm making that so that, you know, I take a few takes, and I don't mess with them. They're just one-off performances, you know, so that you keep that edge and that passion in there. And then, you know, we might put a cello or a piano on top of something, but there's we don't replace anything. Nothing has changed. And that's the way I like to make my records now. And so I hope that, you know, when people come to a gig and they buy a record, therefore they get something that is representative of that occasion, rather than go home and find something that's fully produced. And, you know, it's very nice, but, you know, there's a lot of fully produced records out there, and I'm trying to do something that's a bit different and retain whatever it is folk-like that they see when they come to a show.
That's excellent, and it's always, I mean, it's for me, is the live show is where it's at anyway, so.
Well, I think so, yeah, and there's some live albums out now as well, so, that's it. I think that's, you know, you just have to be a little bit more, I have to be honest, but I'm always trying to, you know, again, you're trying to get stuff on the radio as well, so you have to try and, you know, do something about that, but at the same time, I don't really want to get too far away from the man and the guitar, you know.
Right. Well, I'm certainly looking forward to seeing the man and the guitar on Saturday night at the West End Cultural Center.
It's
always good to have you back here.
Well, thank you, guys, and I'm looking forward to being in Winnipeg, as they call it. And I, you know, I have a lot of friends there, and can't wait to to see you on Saturday.
Well, you got to keep going. I know it's a tough schedule, but you always give it your all when you're on stage, and that amazes me for a guy that travels as much as you do and works as hard as you do. So,
well, it's
thank you very much for
thank you, Martin.
Doing what you do.
Miss Terry, I'll see you at the airport.
Yeah, please be there.
Yeah, she'll be there.
All right, we're going to play the title track to the latest record, and it is a good one. Thanks for being with us, Martin.
Thanks,
all right,
Martin.
Guys. Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.